the screen for you, we'll be going through tonight. The danger of deception. We're in a world that's very easy, isn't it, to be deceived. We're in a generation that many are deceived. And we think that something that is true, we find out later is a lie. And that lie has destroyed our lives. So we're going to talk about what the Bible says about deception. First of all, we must know what deception means. So let's define deception. Go to the next slide, Brandon. Deception. To cause someone to believe something that is not true in order to gain a personal advantage. Be nice, Doc.
Smell of politics.
We may have some H.C. Lovers in here. To cause someone to believe something that is not true in order to gain a personal advantage. Now, this is what the devil does all the time. He tries to paint a picture in our lives of truth so that he can gain an advantage. What's the advantage he gains? Us, our lives, our minds, our soul, our steps. I've said this many times. I do not believe whatsoever the devil can rob you of your salvation. But what he can do is he can interfere with your life so much that you are not a light or a witness for anyone else to get saved because your life's so disrupted. So we must understand we are in a world of deception. As you grow up, go back to your, if you remember this far back, go back to your young days, your teenage days. You're growing from a child to a young adult. You're about 15, 16, 17. And all of a sudden, life starts to offer all of these things, put them all in your path. And life tells you, other people tell you, the devil tells you, this is good for you. Now, I don't care how many times a Burger King commercial comes out and says this. Come get a double Whopper meal. It is good for you. We know it's good for our bellies. It's good for our appetite. But it's not good for our health. And so many young people are deceived because a picture is presented before them that this is good for their lives, and this will make things better, and this will fix their problem, and this will change their lives, and it does. It does change their lives, but for the wrong reasons and the wrong ways. And the devil always paints a very beautiful picture. I use an example many times through the years. Just an example, I think it's a good example to use. We know that teenagers that begin experimenting with drugs and alcohol can create a very long battle and a long path of destruction for them. We know that alcohol and drug use is not healthy. It's not good for our bodies. It destroys our organs. It destroys our minds. It can destroy our relationships. But you never see that in a beer commercial. A beer commercial would be very deceiving to someone who doesn't have more sense to realize the truth. A beer commercial is very appealing to high school and college age students because it paints a picture of good times, beautiful women, handsome men, everybody's getting along, life is great. Commercials can be funny. Remember the frog commercial come out years ago, Budweiser? I still remember that one. That was so impactful. Had three frogs, remember? Budweiser. Budweiser. It kept saying that. See, the devil is painting this picture of deception. It's cute. It's funny. I remember it from 15 years ago. It never came out. And we remember that. But what the devil doesn't show is the true picture of the broken home, of the abusive husband, of a habit and a lifestyle that follows them all of their days, some people. It doesn't show that. It just shows part of the picture. Whereas truth reveals the whole picture. We must be careful we're not deceived. The devil wants to gain a foothold in our lives, and he'll use any means and measures to gain that foothold. Let's go to Scripture. This is in Genesis chapter 3. It started way back a long time ago. Genesis 3, verse 1. The serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God made. And he said to the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. God was declaring the truth. There was no deception in what God was telling her. God was giving her truth. But here comes that sneaky old devil, old Lucifer, old Satan, old father of lies, old prince of the world, old redhead, pitchfork, pointy-eared demon. He said to the woman, you won't die. How many people, when you were young, think back when you were young, and they offer you that first cigarette, that first drink, that first drug, you're not born again. It's not going to be a problem. No. Your parents don't know what they're talking about. No. Just try. Just try. So the serpent is deceiving her. For God knows that in the day you eat, your eyes shall be opened. That part was truth. And you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. See, partial truth here. When the woman saw the tree was good for food. Now we're going to go into a theological discussion of what all this really meant. I just want to tell you this. I think all of us know this was not a red-licious apple, and this was not some guy in a red suit offering this. We'll just leave it at that. It was good for food. It was pleasant to the eyes. It was a tree to be desired to make one wise. She took of the fruit and ate. Friend, ate. And gave also to her husband, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew they were naked. They sewed fig leaves and made themselves aprons. Guess what happened? God's word came true. On that day, death came upon man. Just like God said, if you eat of this, you will surely die. And death was upon every man from that point on. Even today, without the change of God, each of us will lay down our flesh, because death has followed us ever since their eyes were opened, because they listened to the devil and were deceived. See, the devil will give us partial truths, but he doesn't give us the whole picture. He'll give us enough to make us think, yeah, that's probably right, but it's not really what's right. And we have to be discernful enough to know the difference. And that's what can be tricky. Let's go to another deception. Look at this. Deception makes mask itself in the delusion of truth. Deception masks itself in a delusion of truth. In other words, it looks like it's truth, but take the mask off and you see the real truth. You see how it really is. Just like if you dress up for Halloween, you wear a mask, you wear a costume. That's not, hopefully, how you really look at life. Big forehead and bolts in your neck. That's not how you look. Let's check after your cousin Louie's side. That's not how you look. You're covered up in something. The real you's underneath that. So the devil masks the truth just enough to make it appealing and make us believe it's reality, but it's not. Once the mask taken off, we see the danger of what we have tasted. And then it's too late. We have been bitten. Kind of like a wild animal that may seem tame. Oh, look at that little coyote. Isn't it cute? Guess what? That coyote is still a coyote. Look at that big black, that bear, that big black. Oh, that bear is so cute. Oh, look at that bear. He's so adorable. By the time his eyes fix on you, you start backing up a little bit. You don't become so adorable no more. You know what that bear is going to do? What bears do. You know what a crocodile is going to do? What crocodiles do. You know what the devil does? What the devil does. And he is a liar and a deceiver. And he will take something to pull us off course. And we must be mindful that what the Bible says, he is a lion roaming to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. How does he devour us? Through deception. He deceives us. He deceived Eve. He deceived her from the truth. He made something that looked like truth, not that wasn't truth, but looked like truth for a personal advantage. And mankind has been dead really ever since. Next scripture. This is Matthew 2:24-4. Jesus said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you.
cautionary, you know, be sober, be vigilant, be aware. Man is going to try to deceive you. I was on the phone today for over 2 hours with the IRS. 2 hours. I first call and I say, your wait time is 30 to 60 minutes. So I put it on a speakerphone and I wait. And I wait. And I wait. She comes to the phone for 45 minutes. I tell her my problem. I've got to connect you somewhere else. I'm sorry. Connected me. Your wait time, 30 to 60 minutes. I waited and I waited and I waited. I had a $96 bill I owed them and I paid my taxes in full. In fact, I paid a little over what I should tell you. And I told her, I said, you make sure you write that in your notes to get me, send me a refund. I said, you tell them this preacher paid too much. The Lord says, send it back. I told him I'm phoned. She kind of laughed. Okay. That's what I told her. Anyway, I owe $94. And I said, I paid more. What's this from? I know I have my check numbers where I said checks in. I paid. What is this $94 from? First, she come back and said, no, I don't really know. They say you owe it. I don't know where it comes from. I'm like, well, can you find out? This is our government work, church. Can you find out? Oh, okay, well, hang on. So you come back. So, well, it's because you pay quarterly taxes and it's a business tax. You're a business. I said, I'm a nonprofit and I've never paid it before. What do you mean? That don't answer don't make sense. Oh, okay, well, hang on. Come back a third time. Finally said, oh, I figured it out. Here, what? I mean, she's just trying to brush me off getting off the phone. I'm on the phone 2 hours and 10 minutes this afternoon. And guess what? I still got paid. But at least I know what it is now. She said, oh, it's a charge because you didn't have coverage of insurance for a couple of months in 2014. And she's right, I didn't. I was trying to get it. It's a couple months before I could get it in. So it's a penalty for not having insurance coverage. I got to pay $96. And I got 72 cent interest charge. I didn't pay it last month because I wasn't going to pay it. I didn't pay this. And now it's 72 cent more I got to pay. Oh, God, out of my head. I told her right then, look, I'm running for president next time. If you want your job, you better figure out where that $96 is and get rid of it. Anyway, my whole point is, you know, I didn't want to be deceived into paying something, tricked into paying something I didn't know. And the devil does that to us. He deceives us into being people that we weren't called to be. He deceives us into doing this, and that's not what God called us to be. God has a higher plan and a better plan. But if we listen to the lie of the devil, we become the workmanship of that lie. We become the sculptor of what he sculpts. It's what we listen to. Are we listening to the lies of the enemy that tell us this all the time? Or are we hearing the voice of truth which sets us free? Next scripture. This is Ephesians 5:6. Let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Vain words, empty, powerless, untruthful words. Don't be deceived by what man says. I said, since the start of the ministry, I've always told you this. And I think they said this at our training last weekend. I thought about it when you said that, but I have said it before many times. That when I preach a message, I minister a word, I'm doing the best I can to make sure it's truth. But I've said this many times, don't just go out of here believing it just because I said it. But read the scripture yourself. Recap the message you heard preached and see if it doesn't bear witness in your spirit that that is truth. Because I realize, church, I can say some things that can be a mistake or can be off or I can mess up. I realize that. So let God check. Let the Holy Spirit check the message. And Doc ain't bashful. Been a few times the back door. Doc shook my hand. Said, brother, I love you. I didn't agree with that, but I love you. That's why I love you too, brother. I'll try to do a better message next week for you. He come through one Sunday like verbal said, talk about sin, brother, didn't touch him. Good job. But Doc will tell me. He'll tell me. And we can have that communication. He's not talking about that in a very long time. I must be getting on the right radar with him. He's not talking about that in a long time. But we got to be careful. The words that we let to our lives, those words can pull us in a direction that we're not supposed to go. You know, many women give themselves away because of the lies of what society says, the lies of what men say. If you were skinnier, if you would do this, if you would do this, if you would, and society tried to shape them into becoming a woman that they're not supposed to be. Because they're listening to that instead of what God said. about being beautiful in His sight, a godly woman in the eyes of God. Beauty is inside anyway. We know that true beauty is inside. It is for me anyway. I'm a lot prettier than I am outside. I can get amen, hallelujah. Yeah. So I know that, and I recognize that, and I'm thankful that we have this word to instruct us that we're not deceived. The way we're not deceived, church, we have to first of all know the truth for ourselves. We have to know. I mean, I think we you know, there are different religions, denominations, different doctrines, and we have to know what that truth is for ourselves. And just because so-and-so says it doesn't make it so. It's what God says that makes it so. And God's word hasn't changed. And God's truth will never lead you into a lie. It always leads you into truth. Period. Next scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Now, Paul is specifically talking here about the gospel message and how other men and women, other teachers and scholars, were painting a picture that was different than the gospel Paul preached. He's like, don't let your minds be so deceived by what they're saying. You are saved in Christ alone. You're saved by the sacrifice of Christ. It's not about creeds and laws and other doctrines. It is the purest gospel, concentrated down to its purest form, that Jesus paid the price for you. And don't let others keep you captive and bound in things that are powerless. I've had to grow in that myself. Because there's something about some religious, holy acting people that can really intimidate you if you let them. You have to remind yourself, I'm not going to be intimidated by your outward holiness when I know what real holiness is. It's inside of me. It's what Christ did for me. And you may think I should be doing this or doing that, but I know what Christ said, and Christ set me free. And I'm going to stick with that and not be deceived by vain words of either religiosity or vain words of unbelief. There are many Christians that are listening to wrong voices there as well. People, you know, questioning the gospel message or the virgin of Christ or, you know, different doctrines that we hang true to that they question. If we're not careful, that creep into our lives. We need to be sober-minded and know what we believe and not be deceived by what the devil says. If the gospel wasn't truth, if the cross wasn't the way, why is it so controversial? Why is there so much pressure against it? Why is everybody so mad about it? Because there's power. There's power in the church, in the true cross of Jesus. We can pray. I go to places all the time where I hear prayers. They pray different things. And, you know, I pray in the name of Jesus. That's what the Bible says. That's the only name that has any power. But I hear all kinds of different other ways of praying, including it. And that gets no flack. But when you pray in that one name that has power over life and death, that one name that broke the back of sin forever, when you pray in that name, that's when things begin to come up against us. Because something about that name invokes every demon of hell. That's the name that defeated them. So it's important we're not deceived. Let our minds wander to things apart from the truth. Next, same chapter, verse 12, 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. Well, we see that, don't we? We see that transformation of people that are supposed to be Christians but sure are living not like that, and they're having airs upon themselves and arrogance and pride that are not walking at all as God called them to walk or teaching the truth as God called them to teach. It says, don't marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. You know, I think we like listening to Satan a lot more because it appeals to our natural appetite. Something about what Satan offers seems to feel better to our natural appetite. But as we know, that natural appetite can destroy our spiritual walk. And that spiritual walk is much more important than our natural appetite. Because the natural appetite continues to need and need and need. That's why we have to eat every day. You know, every day we have need. need. We have to sleep every day. There are needs we have that we have to have because we're in the flesh. But when we attain the spiritual awareness of who God is in us, it truly satisfies us. We're settled with ourselves knowing we are in Him. Period. Next verse. Therefore, it is no great thing if His ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Now go to the next one. This is Matthew 4. Now this tails off what I just read about Satan appeared to be an angel of light. Look what he did to Jesus. Jesus was led up in the Spirit to the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And when the tempter came to him, he says, "If you be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." Satan trying to deceive him into going outside the will of God. Saying, "I know you're hungry. You can make those bread." How did Jesus combat the enemy? With the Word of God. He said, "It is written." It is written. See, that's our key, church. This is written. Your Bibles, it's written. It's there. It can't be changed or erased. They can burn every Bible in the world, but the written word is alive with a heartbeat that pulsates that can never be extinguished. It is done. It is finished. Always and forever. The earth, heaven, and we know it. Heaven and earth, the Bible says, shall pass away. But not one jot, not one tittle, not one mark, not one word of this shall ever pass away. It's done. It's finished. If we remind ourselves of that and go back to our word, let me go back right now. I want to finish that verse. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. We live by every word that God has spoken. So when the devil comes to tempt us and deceive us, we quote Scripture. We quote what it says when he says, "I will submit to God, I will resist the devil, and he will flee." Most of us don't like resisting the devil. We like the devil. The devil brings candy and treats. The devils look good. The devil appeals to this. I mean, think about this. The devil's not going to come up to you in some beat up 1968 Plymouth. He's going to come look at what Doc drives. He's going to pull up that red Mustang. "Hey, little girl, want candy?" That's how he gets us. That's how he deceives us. He paints a picture that looks appealing, but it's actually appalling. He paints a picture that looks beautiful, but behind is destruction. He paints a picture that seems right, but once we eat it, so wrong. And then we have paid a price for what we have done. And I'm going to tell you, y'all see, yeah, the old saying you hear, the juice ain't worth the squeeze. Boy, that's true. There's many things in life, the juice ain't worth the squeeze. We think that's what we want, but then we get it, and we find out things are worse than they were before. Sin has a great way of keeping a vicious cycle of constant defeat, constant condemnation, constant shame, constant setbacks. Take 3 steps forward with God, then we allow the devil to deceive us, and we're 5 steps back. So we're 2 steps further than we were before because we've been deceived. And there's no reason for us to be deceived. We have the Word of God and the Spirit of God to help us and to enable us, to teach us and to show us all things if we would just use that discernment antenna God gave us. You know, women call it a sixth sense, and y'all do have something that we don't have. I get that. There's women that, you know, when there's a creeper around, y'all know that. They can look just fine, they can act just fine. Creeper alert, they're creepy. They make me feel the heebie-jeebies. Why? What they do, they just look at you, heebie-jeebies. They didn't even touch it, heebie-jeebies. Okay, I'm telling you. Y'all have that. But each of us as Christians also have that sense. That when something's not right, we're able to recognize, hopefully, those wolves in sheep's clothing that appear innocent as a lamb. mindful of. And that's what we got to be able to measure and able to look at and say, am I being deceived by the enemy, or is this the truth of God? And if you go back to his word, that never lies. His word will back up whether it's truth or deception. Always remember that. So by every word that's proceeded out of the mouth of God. Verse 5. Then the devil take him. That's temptation, first one. He tempted him again. He took him to the holy city. He set him up on a pinnacle of the temple. Took him way up high. Then he said to him, if you be the Son of God, cast yourself down, for it is written. Now, see, don't you love the devil is using also the word of God? But he's using a partial truth. Yes, the word of God is there, but he's using it in a wrong interpretation. He shall give his angels charge over thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up. That's like us going to New York City, going to the Empire State Building, to the top, and saying, boy, I'm so holy. I prayed in tongues all with the elevator. I've been fasting 40 days. I've been shouting, dancing, mourning, crying, weeping, praising God, singing hymns, hallelujah. I'm holy. And I'm going to throw myself, I feel so holy and so righteous and so empowered by God, I'm going to jump off the Empire State Building and God's going to catch me. I wouldn't try it. He could. He sure could. But I'm not going to try it. Because what if God was busy with someone else? What if God just didn't quite see me? I'm not going to take that chance. That's stupidity. Of course God keeps us. But it doesn't mean we go and we do stupid, reckless things to prove God can keep us. That's what Paul's talking about with grace. We don't intentionally abuse grace for God to pour out his mercy. We don't intentionally do that. Yes, we need grace because we're morons, all of us. And we make mistakes and we fail day by day. But if we intentionally go out and say, hey, man, I'm under grace. I'm going to live it up on Saturday night, pray. I'm going to do whatever my flesh says because I'm under grace. That's abusing the grace God's given you. And that's not what we're supposed to do. That's reckless living. He says, lest thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. He's saying, God's going to take care of you. So what he said to that, Jesus? Here's how he responds. He said, it is written again, using the word of God, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. We don't go out testing God. We don't go out in a car, go 150 miles an hour, saying, oh, God will keep me. That's just reckless stupidity on our parts. We don't tempt God that way. We reverence God. Then he comes to him again, a third time. Then the devil takes him to a high mountain. He showed them all the kingdom of the world and the glory of them. And says to him, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Once again, a partial truth. He was the prince of the world. But how much more did Christ gain by going to the cross than he would have bowed the knee here? How much more did he gain? Jesus responds. He said to him, get you hence. You know what that word hence, in old southern terms, it means get out of the way. Or if you're like my grandma, get out of here. You know, get, G-I-T, get. That's what it means. Satan, get out of here. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and only shalt thou serve him. Three times, Satan tried to deceive Jesus into doing what he said. And three times, Jesus used the very written word of God to come against that. Recognizing it was a deception. Recognizing he was trying to deceive him. Recognizing that this wasn't truth, or the truth that would set us free. There are partial truths to what the devil tells us. He paints pictures, and there are things we do that we know do feel good to our flesh, but they destroy our lives. Don't be deceived. Next slide. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came then and ministered to him. The devil left after he said, I'm not getting anywhere with this guy. He departed. But what made him leave? The word of God made him leave. The word of God, church, is our weapon. That's our anchor. The Word of God is what we use. The Word of God is our strength. The Word of God is our hope. The Word of God is what makes everything stabilize in our lives. But we got to know it. And we got to know its truth. And we got to know it for ourselves. And that means we spend time with God, hearing Him, and knowing it for ourselves. Next slide, friend. You must learn to look beyond the mask. We got to learn to look beyond the mask. We can't see things sometimes at first glance and get a full picture of what really is. We got to remove the mask to see what really is. You know, Melanie's favorite Disney movie, I guess one of her favorites, Beauty and the Beast. And when she first meets the Beast, and that is like really stupid because who would ever thought it would look like that? I mean, right? A talking, walking werewolf, whatever he is. Part buffalo, part wolf, part bear, I don't know what he is. He's a beast. But here's this talking, ugly beast. Here's this beautiful little future princess, this little Belle, little petite, beautiful, young little Belle, falls in love with the Beast. How is that possible? You know how it's possible? She looked beyond the mask and she saw who he really was. And though he appeared, this is a little bit reverse of what I'm talking about, but he appeared as a ferocious beast, but inside he was a prince. The difference is God will paint the picture, or the devil will paint a picture of something like a prince. And behind that mask is a real beast. There's a lot of good-looking guys, athletes, sports guys, Hollywood actors, whatever, nice-looking guys that appear. They're good-looking, they got money, they're suave. But behind closed doors, they're a beast. Behind closed doors, they're angry. They're a wife beater. They've got issues. They've got things that the world doesn't see because they put a mask on Sunday or a mask on whatever day they're playing. They put this mask on, but it's not who they really are. We've got to look beyond the mask. When the devil comes presenting you something, opportunity, what am I really looking at here? Am I looking at the truth or am I looking at the apple? That when I take a bite of that, so to speak, then I'm poisoned. We must know the difference. And that's my next point, my last slide here. The real danger of deception is not being able to recognize it's a lie. That's the real danger. Not being able to recognize it is a lie. The Bible says the devil is the father of lies. And the devil is a smooth talker. The devil puts any Washington politician to shame with his speech. He is a smooth operator. And he knows what your weak points are. He knows how to tempt you. He knows what gravitates to you. He knows how to pull you away. The devil uses our weaknesses for his advantage, which are wrong advantages. God uses our weaknesses for his advantage, which are good things. Remember, Paul says, when I'm weak, then am I strong. When we're weak and following God, it's a good thing because in our weakness, we see the glory of God. But in our weakness for the devil, we see his poison. We see his destruction. We got to be able to recognize and understand when we're being deceived. And that's a hard line sometimes. And that's when we go back to God's word. God, what does your word say? And get his witness in your spirit. God, talk to me. Tell me. I don't want to be deceived. I don't want to be deceived into believing something, a lie that seems, some lies. And if you've raised kids, care how good they are, most of them at some point want to lie to you. They will try to see where they've been, who they've been with, what they've been doing. And man, the more practice they have at that, they get pretty good. I mean, they get real good. And you find yourself questioning, are they lying to me or telling the truth? We tell our kids, I can look in your eyes and tell if you're lying to me. So then what they start doing? Not making eye contact. Okay. When you look in their eyes, you can just see that. It's hard for a parent to describe. You know what I'm talking about. You raise your kids most times, and they get really good, but you lose a little bit of that, maybe that ability. But in the early years, you could really tell looking in her eyes. Sure, let me say, Caleb, was you really at McDonald's tonight? Yeah, Mama. But her eyes say, no, Mama. I was partying like 1999. That's what her eyes are saying. You got to learn to recognize a deception. It's important we know that because, church, we as God's people should not so easily be deceived. We've got an advantage. We've got the Holy Spirit living inside of us, but we got to use it. We got to get that radar detailed and shined up to where it picks up on all the noise that's trying to bring us in. There's a lot of wrong noise that seems so right. And understand, in Genesis, the devil didn't go blaring in with his bling-bling and loud music saying, you want it? He was subtle. He spoke to her and presented her a package that was unrefusable. And she chose the package over the word. She was deceived. I don't believe Eve deliberately disobeyed. She was deceived. She didn't want to disobey. She didn't intend to disobey. She didn't rebel against God. She was deceived by the enemy into believing that what he was telling her was the real truth. And just a note for you, if you ever question this, years ago I preached on this and I still hold fast, I believe this, that the first voice we hear is the voice of God. It's always the other voices that are beginning to follow that first voice. So if you hear that first voice, have that first instinct, have that first revelation, and then something else comes behind it, you know what that does? It brings confusion. Right there it tells you. The devil is the author of confusion, but God's the author of peace. So if you are confused, you know it's not the voice of God, number one. And if it comes after your first voice, that's not God either. God speaks to you. All of us have that initial instinct. You know, you hear a story or you see a person and you have an instinct about that, don't you? Like an immediate instinct. I bet. And then you're like, no, it wasn't that. It's probably something else. It comes back. Yep, that was it. Your first instinct is normally right because God's voice speaks first. God told Adam and Eve how to live, but they listened to the second voice. Don't listen to the second voice. Don't be deceived. Learn to recognize when it's deception. And that takes being intuitive with the Word of God. That takes spending time with God. And that takes going back to His Word and lining up. Does this line up with God's Word? Many are falling by the wayside. Many are being deceived. I think about this. This is not to pick on any one denomination. It's something we all can relate to. And I know there are many that will go to heaven out of this denomination. I'm not saying that. But the Catholic Church, it can be very deceptive in their teaching because they put so much emphasis on the Catholic faith and not as much of faith in Christ alone. It's a very deception. You know, people always want to know, what's the Pope think? What's the Pope think? What's he know? When I was in Florida, I was talking to that lady down there at the pool about the insurance in Canada they have. She's in Canada. She's a Catholic. I said, hey, what do you think about your Pope? Oh, I love my Pope. I love the Pope. I think he's great. I love this new Pope. And yeah, I could tell she put a lot of emphasis on who he was. And I should have said this, but it wasn't that bold. She said, well, what do you think about your Jesus? What do you think about him? Is he as important to you as your Pope? Is he as important as the ceremonial rituals? Is he as important as, we can really be deceived that sacrament saves us. Lord's Supper, baptism, you know, all these things. Those are sacraments, but they're not, that's not what saves us. We are saved through Christ. And to see there are, 1 billion, I think, Catholic followers or something, maybe 1 billion in the world, or profess to be Catholic. But how many of them have a relationship with Jesus? How many of them have a true, and I know there are many that do, but they're not being geared or taught that way. I went with Don to his mother's funeral in Pittsburgh a few years ago. It was a Catholic service. Never been to a Catholic church before. And Don told me, this is how it is, how our service is. What you saw is kind of how it is. They read some stuff, and that, you know, people, they don't break out the Bibles in those churches. They just listen to what the priest has to say. What if the priest is wrong? How do they know that? If they don't open their own Bible up to read what God's Word says, how do they know that the priest... Church, I don't want to hang anything on what a man says. I want to hang on what a man did. That's Jesus dying for me. And if I follow that path, I'm never wrong. I'm never wrong. Maybe I don't get deep with some people, but at least I know I'm on the right road. Church, I'm going to be on a flat road with no action, a big old ditch stuck in the depth of it. Just because it's deep don't mean it's good. If you can't swim, you all in deep water? No. Now, you might like deep fried food, but, you know, everything deep ain't good. So, don't be deceived by vain words. Don't be deceived. Just because you're a Catholic doesn't mean Peter's going to let you in the front door. Hi, Peter. I'm from the First Catholic Church. I did Mass 4 times a week, brother. Well, good for you. Who are you?
You don't know me.
I was baptized Catholic, raised Catholic, born Catholic, bred Catholic, breathed Catholic. Well, let me ask you this. Have you placed your faith? Well, I know Jesus died for me. Yeah, I know. Did you place your faith in him? Well, the priest said that I was okay, but did you place your faith in Christ? Well, he says, oh, if I kept coming to Mass, giving my tithes, I'll be all right. Wrong answer. Don't be deceived. And we have other denominations we know are not Christian. We've got Jehovah's Witness, we've got Mormonism, we've got other big denominations that are not truth according to the Word of God we believe. And it's very, I can never be a Mormon for one reason. I like tea too much. I couldn't get tea up. They don't believe in tea, caffeine. They don't believe in caffeine.
They'll eat chocolate.
See how, think about that. Doesn't chocolate have caffeine in it? So they don't drink coffee or tea or soft drinks, but eat chocolate. Crazy stuff. And people by the thousands and millions follow that doctrine. I'm telling you, I could not be Mormon. I like my sweet tea too much. I'd be in hell, though, I reckon. I'm just thankful for the truth. Aren't you thankful you know the truth? And that truth does set us free. Glory to God. Don't be deceived. That's my message. Thanks for being with us on this beautiful, wonderful Wednesday night. Mark, come up and play a song for us, if you would, for an offering song. Active in you, dear. Thank you.
Something to do with the scripture as well as it's better to have an ugly truth than a beautiful deception.
That's very true. It's better to have an ugly truth than a beautiful lie. Very good. Ugly truths help us much more in our life. Let's pray our offering. Lord, we ask you bless the offering tonight that is given. We give you praise. We give you thanks.